you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point. If you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. Then we are moving on to the next church here. And I like this scripture, Revelations 2 and 8, when it goes into the church of Smyrna. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I love this because this is all praise. You hear no condemnation. Jesus loves this church. He is not chastising them. He's not saying, hey, like he did with Ephesus, you lost your first love. He's not saying what he did to Pergamos or Laodicea. He didn't have a problem with Smyrna. Smyrna was doing what they were supposed to do. Now, see, you hear churches all over the nation called the Church at Philadelphia. When people start a church, they want to name their church the Church at Philadelphia. Why? Because that was a perfect church. Well, you don't hear any churches of Smyrna. And, you know, you don't hear anybody, what's the name of your church? Oh, we're the Church at Smyrna. But I'm going to tell you why you don't see churches called Smyrna. And it's because of what is revealed in the red writing. In 2 and 9, he said, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Now, these are the things that keep people from naming their church Smyrna, because they don't want tribulation and they don't want poverty. Okay, now, nobody wants poverty. Now, understand, we talked about money last week. We talked about faith in Jesus being associated with money and how you should separate those two things. But not by any stretch of the imagination am I saying that we shouldn't have money, desire to have good things and nice things. Everybody likes money. Money answereth all things according to the scripture. So, you know, you can't do much without money anyway. So money is not a bad thing. You just don't want money to rule you or chasing money to rule you. And you can always tell, and please write this down. This is one of the G. Craig nuggets I'm going to give you right here, because this is something I've learned all my years of travel and study. So write this down and remember this. You can always tell a preacher that don't care nothing about the people. You can always tell, because if you go in his church and before you get out the door, somebody trying to sell you Amway, somebody trying to sell you some cologne, somebody trying to get you to buy their electricity, somebody trying to get you into their travel agency, you know, you're getting bombarded with all these folks with all these side jobs trying to get you in some pyramid scheme and all that. All that is a reflection on the pastor, because the pastor has caused everybody in that church to chase money. Now, am I saying something's wrong with having a second job? No. But you don't use the house of God and you don't use your spiritual connections to sell. You know the person I'm talking about. They in your family, you know, they go to the church. They lose all their friends to pyramid schemes and money. They don't even understand when it's a friend or a possible client that can make them some money. You know, they don't see you. They see a bottle of shampoo from Amway. You know, we know that because you walk in these churches and everything's so business oriented. And everybody's trying to get their miracle, their season. season, their harvest. It's my season to sell this stuff. And I'm not saying anything is wrong with making money. Please don't get me wrong. But you don't need to use your friendly connection, the people you call friend, or the people that you look up to as ministers, or the people that are a part of your life. You don't want to introduce everybody to every great scheme you got to make some money. And that is where these churches are going wrong. So you can always tell when this pastor is worth a quarter because he got everybody in his church trying to make a quarter. Some churches you just avoid. You want to wear a shirt that say, leave me alone, like you in a church with a bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses or something, you know, but they always trying to sell you something because the pastor got them trying to make money to give him money. I remember one pastor right in the Fort Worth area. He called me, man, there's $50 trillion that the government owe all the black people for slavery, and they're going to give us all a check. All you got to do is pay $300. I said, man, I'm not getting in that. Why would I pay $300 to get the $60 trillion or whatever you saying? Why do you have to pay money to make money? Oh, see, black folk always miss an opportunity. I turned on the news a week later, and he was on the news, and everybody else that asked me about this money was on the news getting busted because this was a scheme. And this was a pastor that took all his members to this jive guy that was going to give them $60 trillion and all. This is foolishness, y'all. So let's stop this. And I know y'all are saying, what does this have to do with Smyrna? Well, this has a lot to do with Smyrna because this was a church that wasn't into prosperity. Now, understand, their poverty was different. Now, when the Bible talked about Laodicea, it said that these folks had money and wealth, but they were poor. So they looked good on the outside. They had the money. They had the big houses and the car, but they were poor on the inside. But right here in Revelations 2:9, it tells us that this particular church, they didn't have financial things or they were in poverty, but it said in parentheses in the red writing, but thou art rich. What does he mean rich? Jesus is saying that what matters to you most is what matters to me most. That makes you rich. In other words, when souls are our focus, when living for Christ is our focus, when helping others becomes our focus, then we are rich. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying that it's not good to have money, but jobs bring you money. Do you hear me? A job, J-O-B. I tell folks all the time they need to change the name of the book of Job to the book of Job because Job had a job. Folks think Job just was sitting up rich for no reason. No, Job had money because the Bible said God blessed the work of his hand. That means Job had a job. Job was working. And if you want money, guess what you have to do? Guess, just take a wild guess. You have to work. You need a job. You need to go and work. There's nothing wrong with having money, and it's good to manage your money right. Do you hear me? God doesn't just want to give you wealth, but he wants to give you business sense to handle your wealth. Are you hearing me? I know folk that walk around with $15,000 plus in their front pocket because they don't have a bank account because their account keep going in the negative. They keep writing hot checks. You know, a hot check writer ain't nothing but a thief and a liar. You know that. But folks always have these different things about money. But when they get the money, they don't handle it right. So God not only wants you to have money, but he wants you to have business sense to handle money. But listen to this. If you don't have money, the church at Smyrna is a good example. If you are low on funds, if your money is looking funny, if things aren't just like you want them financially, that does not mean that you blame God. That does not mean that you chase money. That does not mean that you get on your knees and start naming it and claiming it and calling it out. Money cometh to me now. You're broke. I mean, come on. Some folk, you can listen to the way they talk and know that what they saying ain't the truth. So all this money coming foolishness, you shouldn't be doing any of that. If you work, you will get paid. So if you do the work, you will get the wages. When we talk about money, let's keep this in the proper perspective. Get a job. But that doesn't mean that you go out and jump in every scheme. That doesn't mean that you try to get in everything that's going to make you rich and all these schemes and all these different things that are going on. No, it's just saying you need to work a job and be faithful to what you're doing. Pray and ask God to open a door. He said also that if you give, which is, you know, offerings given to a church or whatever, given cheerfully out of your heart, this is what I want to do, God will bless that. He will bless you giving. And also, if you give, he said, men will give given to your bosom. But he's not talking about men just walking up. You know how they preach the stories. A brother just walked up, gave me a check for $5,000 and just put it in my pocket and say, God bless you, preacher. No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about God opening a door so the work of your hands can be blessed. So listen, people, in this bad economy, if you're looking for a job and you need a job, pray that God blesses the work of your hands. God, what am I good at doing? God, open a door so I can do that, so that I can provide for my family through you, God, and you will get all the glory and the praise. Hallelujah. That's what you do. That's the prayer you pray. God, bless the work of my hands. I'm not sitting up here trying to be a bum in Christ. I'm telling you, get a job. Look at somebody and say, get a job. Get a job. These young men need to see men working. These young ladies need to see men working. We need to see folks with some jobs. So ask God, in this bad economy, these bad economic times, Lord, please bless the work of my hands. But let's go back to Smyrna, because the Bible is saying that even though they were in poverty, they were rich. He says, I know thy works. You're doing good works. He said, and I know thy tribulation. And the tribulation was this particular church was persecuted. This is why he starts out the verses in 2 and 8 saying, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and now alive. He is making a reference to the persecution, saying that even though they killed me, I am yet alive and I overcame, and you will overcome the tribulation as well. He said, I know thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which shall suffer you. So this is a real church, y'all. Now let me explain. This church is, even though they're poverty stricken, they are standing strong for the faith. So let's get some things in our head real quick as we begin to close out this broadcast, and we will continue this next week. But there was just some things sometimes you have to deal with, especially when it comes to finances, because we are getting an imbalance about finances. We are thinking and associating everything that we make financially with what should be coming from God. And we don't understand when the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. He is telling you that the important thing for you to do when it comes to Christ is to seek your position in the kingdom. And it ain't talking about a paid position. Just seek your position. But we need finances. We need money. So we need to work jobs. Now let's talk about Smyrna, the derivative of this name. It comes from the name of an herb, which when this herb is crushed, it gives off a sweet aroma. And this herb is also used to embalm the dead, and it has a bitter flavor. So it's really a bitter herb that has a bitter flavor, but gives off a sweet aroma. Now, this is very descriptive of the church at Smyrna. It's because of their works and their persecution, they give off a sweet smell. You know, when we talk about the brazen altar sacrifice unto God, it is the burning of the flesh of the animal that gives off a sweet smell and savor unto God. So God is worshiped through the aroma of that sacrifice. Well, this particular church has a sweet aroma unto God, especially when their lives were taken and the tribulation was coming. They gave off a sweet aroma, but the actual herb that they're named after has a bitter taste to it, and that bitterness represents the persecution, or how they suffered bitterly for the cause of Christ. So here's another reason why you don't see churches called Smyrna. You know, you can't drive around the corner and say, this is the church at Smyrna. You don't see this because this is also a church that was heavily persecuted. This church was persecuted by Jews that were not the true Jews of God, that were grafted in, or the true Jews that believe in Jesus Christ. But these are the Jews that hated Christ or crucified Jesus Christ. You know, Christ was crucified by the Jews. Now, please don't start saying I'm anti-Semitic. You know, when I did The Truth Behind Hip Hop Part 4, and I dealt with Freemasonry, and I dealt with the Kabbalah Jews that crucified Christ, you know, I got a lot of backlash. I got a lot of friends across the country that, you know, go to Israel a lot, and a lot of them dress up like they are a Jew. A lot of them have a lot of, you know, Jew symbols and signs and different things in their churches and all of that. And I understand where they're going with that stuff, but you got to be real careful, because there is a group of Jews, the current Jews that occupy Jerusalem. These are the Kabbalah Jews, and these are the Jews that do not believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And so we got to get a good understanding of who the true Jews of the scripture really are. But we need to understand the true Jews are those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, the New Testament is actually banned in Israel right now. And, you know, there are a lot of churches that want to do things for Israel and feel like Israel, Jesus is coming back for Israel as a state and a nation. But if you do your research, you'll understand that when the scripture is talking about us being grafted in, when it's talking about the true Jews, it's talking about the Jews that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal savior. These are the Jews that are going to be saved in the end. I know a lot of us, even when we were young, we were taught that if you live in Jerusalem and you're a Jew, you're going to go to heaven no matter what you believe. And if you don't believe in Jesus, you're still going to be saved. That is not true, because we misunderstood scripture. We misunderstood Romans 2 and 29, where it says, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. It's not talking about the natural circumcision into the Jewish family. It's not talking about the natural heritage of the Jewish family, but it's talking about the spiritual inheritance of the Jewish family, because of Philippians 3:3 says, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So we're not talking about a fleshly lineage of Jews here. All y'all paying attention to G. Craig Lewis. So this is why it's very dangerous for us to go into Jerusalem and bring things out and walk around with the 6-point hexagram star, calling it the Star of David, which it is not. It is the seal of Solomon. I talk about that in The Truth Behind Hip Hop Part 4. And we walk around with all these things thinking that we can be like Jews and we can resemble the Jews. And it's nothing wrong with understanding the heritage of Jesus Christ. It's nothing wrong with visiting Israel and wanting to partake in the things of Jesus Christ and eat what they ate and walk the path of Jerusalem. Don't get me wrong. That's beautiful things to understand the path that Jesus walked and where Jesus went. But we cannot misunderstand scripture here and believe that these Kabbalah Jews that crucified Christ are going to still be resurrected in the resurrection of Jesus if they don't believe. No, they have to believe in Jesus. They believe that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. So therefore, if you believe that, you will not be saved in the end. The resurrection in the end is going to resurrect, and God is going to take away the Jews that worship Jesus Christ as the Son of God, those that recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. That means that if you're a Gentile and you were grafted in, guess what you are now? You're a true Jew. That means that if you're a Jew and you say Jesus Christ is the Son of God, guess what you are now? A true Jew. But who are the Jews that are not true Jews? These are the ones that do not believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Please listen to me. When churches want to send money and protect Israel and different things, there's nothing wrong with having an ally that is a nation. We should have nations that are allies. Please understand what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with protecting Israel. If they are an ally, we should fight to protect them. But please, under no circumstance, believe that anyone in Israel that is not saved is going to get to heaven. Because if you do not believe that Jesus is the Son, he died once for all men. That's what the scripture tells us. So all men have to accept Jesus as their personal Savior if they want to be saved in the end. People of God, please hear me right now. This has been misconstrued in the scripture more than anything that I know of, and that is people believing that Jews can make it into heaven regardless of who they believe. And don't you know that in its simplest form is inclusion, the gospel of inclusion? And we know the gospel of inclusion is not the gospel according to the scripture. Jesus wants us to accept him. He said he is the way, the truth, and and the what? The life. No man. Did you hear me? I said, no man cometh to the Father except by him. There is no exceptions to this rule. So we go back to the church of Smyrna and understand now this church was persecuted. They were poverty stricken because they weren't allowed to make money in the city because of the persecution and the tribulation. And Jesus is commending them, saying, I praise you because you are doing good works. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So understand, Jesus is making it clear here that these particular Jews are not Jews. This tells us a wealth of information. So if they're Jewish heritage, but he's saying they are not true Jews, then what is he talking about? He's talking about spiritual circumcision, being grafted in the spirit, being added to, being accepted by him. When you accept Jesus as your personal savior, you are saved and grafted in to the true Jews, which is the true bloodline of Jesus that will save us all from death in the end. If you read on down, he says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. These are the ones that have accepted the blood of Jesus and it protects them. So understand what we've been saying in this particular broadcast, especially talking about the money. And that is the most important thing I want to convey to you. There's nothing wrong with having money, but if you don't have much money, the Bible is saying you can still be rich. I know that's not a popular message and nobody wants to hear about not having money, but there are some people right now under the sound of my voice that are having some financial difficulty. Somebody lost their job, doesn't have a job. Somebody doesn't have a good job and the money is just not where you want it to be. The money is not coming like you want it. Don't you understand? I went through that about 7 years of my life. Right when I got married, I didn't have much money and I struggled financially that whole time, but I had a peace in Jesus Christ because I understood that it wasn't about the money I had, but I understood that it was about me doing the work that Christ had called me to do. And when I made the work that Christ had called me to do my top priority, I knew that God was going to take care of me. And I wasn't looking for over and above and beyond what I needed. I just needed my bills paid. I needed my needs met. As I began to grow in Christ and grow in the things of Christ, he began to add to me. He began to bless me. And now I live a debt-free life, financially secure. And it's because Jesus Christ was faithful to me, but I was faithful to him. So I understand money struggle. I understand lack of money. I understand not having. I just don't want you to get caught up in thinking that Jesus Christ is an ATM machine where you can go and call it and money cometh and I need some money. And oh, look, there's a shiny penny on the ground. It works. Money cometh to me. Ooh, there's another penny. Oh, there's a quarter. That's some foolishness. Don't chase money like that. And then don't get in all these old schemes at church. How you doing, brother? You know, I got these tiles that I'm selling and God is opening up. Come on, folks. Listen to me. We got these pastors with all these side jobs and their main job should be preaching the gospel. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a pastor that's working a job, but a pastor don't need to be selling all kinds of stuff on the side. And I mean, got five jobs. When you gonna pastor, brother? I mean, come on, y'all. We are chasing this money like never before. And we're at a time when we need to put these things aside and go after the things of Christ. Don't you know that Jesus will take care of you? Don't you know that he will open a door for your needs to be met? And he wants to use that gift, that talent, and that ability that he has placed in you to prosper you. So understand, folks, and please don't get me wrong. It's okay to sell these things and make money, but don't use the church and the people of God as your opportunity. When you see people, you should first see souls that need to be saved before you see money cometh out of their pocket. Amen. Come on, folks, let's take this seriously and let's shut down this foolishness in our churches and places of worship. And let's bring the house of God back to prayer and make it a house of prayer. You remember Jesus went into the temple and he beat up all the vessels where the folks were selling and they had turned the church into a marketplace. As Jesus said, I don't want all this in my house. And he began to violently break up the vessels and beat the tables and ran the folks out of there, called them robbers and thieves, and saying, you turning my house of prayer into a den of fees. And that's what's happening now. The usher, instead of coming up to you handing you an offering card, they handing you an offering card and a business card. And I mean, everybody's trying to make a dollar, but we got to understand the house of prayer has to go back to prayer. And that church needs to be the church. And you go make your money somewhere else. But let's stop all of this stuff in the church and understand. Let me say this loudly before I close this message. There is nothing wrong with poverty if you are rich spiritually. Let me say that again. There's nothing wrong with poverty. Folks say, well, that's a lack. That's a curse. And it's a curse to not have enough. No, there's a period we all usually go through where we didn't have enough. And sometimes it's just a testing. Sometimes it's just a trial period. Sometimes it's just because we didn't do what we should have done. We dropped out of college. We're the ones that didn't get the good job. We're the ones that didn't fill out the application right or didn't read and get our skills together so we can get a good job. A lot of these things are our fault, but it doesn't mean it's a curse because you don't have enough money. Don't get me wrong. You should always be able to pay your bills, but it's necessarily a curse whenever you are poor. And I'm going to say this to folks because I'm not after your money. If you don't have enough money at the end of the month, yeah, you pray for God to use your hands to help you, but don't look at that as a curse because somebody else has more than you. A lot of times, we just living above and beyond our means. A lot of times, we want to live in the nice house. We want to live in a nice neighborhood. We want to send our kids to the nice school, but we can't afford that. So we need to back up and send them to a not so nice school or homeschool them. But we don't need to chase things. I'm trying to get these principles in you so you won't be taken advantage of in this last and evil day by men that come with their own financial desires to rob you. So understand, the scripture is telling us there is nothing wrong with poverty because he says you are rich. I see your poverty, but you are rich. You are poor because they won't allow you to make money in this city, but you are rich because you preach and proclaim that Jesus is Lord. And at the end of this thing, you will receive a crown of life. So this message, I'm speaking to every one of you out there. Your finances may not be where you want them. You may have lack at the end of the month. You may be struggling to make ends meet because you want to live a certain way. And I understand that. That does not mean you're cursed. That does not mean that God is mad at you. That does not mean that your prayers aren't being answered. That just means that maybe you got a bad job. Maybe you need a better job. Maybe you need God to bless the work of your hands so you can do something else. That's all that means. So understand, y'all, I am speaking as an advocate for those right now that may not have as much as somebody else. God is saying you can still be rich if your life is reflective of what he wants you to do. If you are doing what he says do, you can still be rich. Let me pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this message, God. I believe there are some powerful things that were said today. Father, we need to make a difference in this money thing. And Father, though we all would like to have more, and though we believe, God, that your principles in the Bible will cause us to be blessed, and though we believe those things, God, many of us, Lord, have made mistakes. Many of us have made financial error. Many of us, Father God, have done things that have inhibited us from making the money we desire to make. And Father, I pray right now that you would give us a different kind of initiative when it comes to prayer and money. Father, that we won't seek money. Father, that we won't seek to pervert our relationships with people because of money. God, so that we won't seek to pervert the cause of Christ because of money. And money won't be our focus. But God, we'll understand that even in our lack, even in a poverty, a state of poverty, Father, you could still be glorified. We can still praise and worship you. God, everybody's not going to live in the good neighborhood. So Father, those that aren't, Father, I pray for them right now that they will persevere and not see things, not count gain as godliness, but understand, Father, that everything is a process. And though, Lord, their hope to have more can be achieved in this life, God, when they have lack, I pray, God, that they will believe in you still, that they will still count you worthy of their praise, that they will still see that there is a cause out there that we all need to fight for. And that cause is you, God. So Lord, no matter what people's financial status is, whether they're poor, whether they're rich, whether they have too much, whether they don't have enough, Father God, as long as they have enough of you, you will be pleased, and you call them rich in the spirit, God. Father, I pray right now that your people, Lord, don't get weary. Now, in this period of economic demise, God, that they won't get weary in well-doing, God. They will know that even in the midst of not having enough, you are more than enough spiritually. And God, you can save us and come for us and rescue us, God, before all is said and done. I believe this message is of you, God. Bless those, God, that need your blessing. And Lord, honor those, Father God, that may even be in lack, but are doing your work like you did this church at Smyrna, God, so that your son Jesus will be glorified in Jesus' name. We'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
Thank you for joining us for a True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Join us here each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can also visit us online at true-church.org.